basketball tools. I got a basketball tools. Got a basketball tools.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy.
And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness. Sorrentine hit that one from the parking lot.
All right, welcome to the sixth episode of Storm the Court podcast with Barstool Reegs and Mikey Golds. What's going on, Bobby?
Mikey, how you doing? Just trying to recover from a three-day basketball bender and watching the Giants-Patriots game, which is why I sound mightily depressed right now.
Yeah, that was deflating, not to like punt, do a pun or anything like that, but overall, what a sports weekend. Starting, you know, you went to a bunch of games. I was master of the couch and of the remote all weekend, going between football, basketball, and then, I mean, every small conference has their own like web platform now, so I was watching online as well. And I had, you know, sometimes I had three games going at once. Obviously, not everything was lined, so I wasn't betting on it, but it was just fun to watch. It was, like I said, I know you said before we started, the quality was good that you watched. I didn't see great quality of play, but I saw entertaining moments. So, where did you go this weekend? Tell the audience that.
So, Friday night started with Miami of Ohio at Xavier, which was actually not a bad matchup. The line on that one, I think, was about 15. I forget, you know, depending where you looked at. I forget what it closed at, 14.5 to 15.5, somewhere in that range. Miami is only about 45 minutes away from Xavier, so it was a sellout. You know, Cintas Center was a sellout. You had a decent number of Miami fans there. Like I've mentioned before, Cintas is a cool place to watch a game. You know, we actually stood at the beer flight deck, which overlooks the court from behind the one basket, and just watched the game from there. And it was highly entertaining. It was very fast-paced. Xavier score, it was eight, I forget, Jesus, it's been so long. I say that since it's been Friday, but Xavier, you know, I think it was 84-76, I think, might have been the final, something like that. And it was up and down the entire time. You know, I was sitting there with the guys I was with going, you know, how the hell did it get to the 4-minute mark already? It just very fast-paced game. Trevion Blewett looks like the real deal at Xavier. Anytime they needed a bucket, they went to him. His shooting form was much cleaner than last year. So that was Friday night. Saturday night was at Kentucky in Rupp Arena, and then today was an afternoon game, Robert Morris at Cincinnati. So kind of all over, 3 days and three games, starting at 7 p.m. Friday and ending at 2 p.m. today. So it's been a hectic weekend.
It's the life, man. So Friday was I started with Yale and Fairfield. And
you're welcome for that Yale pick.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get down on the Yale pick, and I was really upset with it after the first half, but they blew them out in the second half. Again, that one wasn't on TV. You had to watch that online, and the play-by-play announcers were the worst I've ever heard. I had to mute the game. It was so bad, and just watch and do my own commentary. But the one cool thing I did find out was the star player on Yale took last year off to sing with a world-renowned a cappella group. So now I'm a huge Yale fan. I hope they win the Ivy. And I'll be rooting for them in the tournament when they're a 15 seed. But you can't be the best player on a team and also sing a cappella. It's not allowed. The next game I caught Friday night, and this is one I'm going to say I told you so, Colorado, Iowa State.
I said Colorado was going to win.
I did. Well, I mean, I took the points too, and I took the money line. They really blew it towards the end, but Iowa State did not look great. I don't know how much of that game you watched, or if you, you know, just caught the highlights. They just settled for bad look after bad look, and I feel like their coach was just like a little weasel and didn't do anything about it. He just let the team coach itself.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Prom likes to give his point guard a lot of leeway. And with the new rules, and even in terms of, you know, not being able to call timeout, it takes away a lot from what the coach can do. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's not like Colorado was an easy team. Colorado has a star in Josh Scott.
Every time they needed a big basket, it was to him. And
right.
Unfazed right. With a good Iowa State defensive team in his face the entire time, he knocked down shot after shot. And my only gripe was with the coaching almost with Iowa State, was I would have liked to see, you know, at least a little more enthusiasm or a little more it just didn't look like he was there to coach. He was there to just sit on the bench because he had to be, was really what my gripe was.
See, and it's also hard to tell after one game like that, you know, where it's an early start in South Dakota and, you know, a first game ever for Prom at Iowa State. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt heading into, you know, the rest of the season. But, you know, I only got to see a little bit of the game.
I'm not here to be rational.
End of the first half, beginning of the second half. So I think it was, you know, it was a great win by Iowa State. You know, that's a win to start the season off that you can really, you know, a good team like Iowa State needs to have. Like I said, Colorado, they'll probably finish middle of the pack in the Pac-12, but they have a star in Josh Scott. If he's healthy, that's an all-conference player.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a win with the points, obviously a loss with the money line, so I felt good about that one. The next one that was on at 7, and I'm going to say Gonzaga-Pitt. Gonzaga's going to be really, really good, and they said this in the middle of the game. Now, obviously that game was canceled, and that's because of the floor conditions. It was so humid that you couldn't move without slipping and falling. I don't know if it's the floor conditions, but I'm going to be interested to watch the next Pitt game, because they hung tough in the first half, and they were picked 10th in the ACC. So either the ACC is going to be the gauntlet, or it was a total fluke of the year.
Well, it's a little of both. The ACC is going to be really good. The ACC is going to be deep. But Pitt likes to play those type of games. They like to just ugly the game up. They'll be competitive, but, I mean, Pitt sucks. I mean, I'll be frank, and if you're a Pittsburgh fan listening to this, eat at me, and we'll get into a fight, but Pitt's garbage. Jamie Dixon has just fallen flat on his face as head coach at Pitt. You know, I think they might need to look another direction here soon, especially if they struggle this year like I think they will. But they'll be competitive. Like, they'll cover a lot of spreads, and they'll play – you'll see a lot of spreads closer than what you think. But they're just – they're not the Pitt team that we're used to seeing from the late 2000s.
So 2009 when they made the Final Four and they were –
They did not make the Final Four. They lost to Scotty Reynolds and Villanova in the Elite Eight when Scotty Reynolds...
Right, they missed it by...
To send Villanova to the Final Four.
Right, right. So that was obviously an interesting game to watch. You knew it was going to be interesting, and I was going to tweet out right before it started, hit the under, because they were showing Marines, who are the toughest of the tough, fanning themselves and standing in front of these fans. And if they were hot, I knew the players weren't going to be able to stay cool, stay hydrated, and knock down shots. Obviously, the game was canceled, so all the bets were voided unless you played the first half like me and lost. So that sucked. But Gonzaga's going to be really good. I feel like anyone on their team, actually, besides their true big man, who I'm blanking on his name.
For who?
Gonzaga. Their true big
Karnowski.
Man. Karnowski? Yeah, Karnowski. Other than him, when Karnowski's not on the floor, I feel like anyone on Gonzaga can step back and hit a three.
Sabonis has range not out to the three-point line. Wiltshire obviously has range anywhere in the gym.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes them unique, is they can play, in theory, now this is in theory, they can play all three at the same time, because on the offensive side of the ball, you can line up Wiltshire on the wing, you know, and stretch him, stretch the floor out. Defensively, you go to a zone, but you know, you will rarely, if ever, see that happen. But it's interesting how they have that. You know, they have the ability to teams out and take advantage of that in the open lane or the mismatch with Wiltshire.
Yeah, that was a good one to watch, and I'm excited to see them in the next few days when they're playing on both teams. Actually, I'm going to be tuned in to see the next games they play on an actual basketball court, not right. Slipping and sliding. Quick shout out to Western Illinois beating Wisconsin.
Wisconsin stinks.
I saw none of that game. I saw none.
Charlie, they stink.
I saw none of that game except that Western Illinois beat them.
I'm watching them right now against Siena. And, I mean, they're up 21, but they just don't look that impressive. Now, Siena, it's a typical, like, what you see with a Power 5 team against a team like Siena. It was close for the first 15 minutes and then started pulling away, but I'm just not impressed by Wisconsin. And even last year, they were not a good defensive team last year, and people think that like Frank Kaminsky could protect the rim. Well, they have even less rim protection this year, so it's not a it's not good. I mean, I'm not sold on them. People were all up in arms when I didn't rank them inside my top 25. Well,
this is why.
Who's the smart one now? You fucking assholes.
You could throw an I told you so out there, and then another quick shout out to Radford beating Georgetown. When you're a storied program, that's one of the ones where you just shut it down.
How about the Big East? The Big East fucking sucks too.
Embarrassing.
Belmont beat Marquette.
St. John's looked terrible.
St. John's looked awful. Rutgers looks awful. Rutgers is now in the Big Ten. I always forget that. Seton Hall is garbage. Butler looked really good. Villanova, obviously Villanova. Xavier looked good. But, yeah, Georgetown losing to Radford. Marquette losing to Belmont. That's going to eat me alive. I even tweeted it out on Friday.
That Big East.
That Belmont plus six, so teasing, and I just stayed away from it. And I knew it. I mean, that was just a staple Big East loss.
Yeah. And then I guess the other quick shout-out, my alma mater, Binghamton, 0-2, shooting 29% from the field on the year. Just keep on keeping on. And then I guess the last thing before we get into previewing the 29 hours of basketball that's going to kick off tomorrow, Monday at 7 and go all throughout Tuesday, is there's been a lot of back and forth on Twitter about teams. Or from some national writers, from some like SB Nations, Bleacher Reports, up in arms about teams that played, you know, D2 or D3 opponents and beat them by like 100. What is your stance on those?
Get the fuck out of my face if
Thank
you played
you.
Of it. I mean, I get it.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's embarrassing to do.
Hold on. First off, if a college football fan ever fucking tweets at me about who was it? Dan Wolkin was like, oh, the least exciting six words to start a college basketball season. It's like, the college football schedule fucking sucks. You know, you're playing D1 AA teams still.
It sucks, you know, until you get playing... to... A lot of college football sucks until you get to conference play.
Right. Now, here, and it still even sucks in conference play because they still play not, like D1 AA teams. That's the equivalent of that. Don't play D2, D3 teams. If you play that, and more importantly, if you're a fan of those teams playing that and say, well, look how good they looked against Mary Washington, fuck you. You know, you're playing 5'8 white guys who were decent high school players, and you win by 60, and you want me to be impressed? Ari Gold GIF, get the fuck out.
I'm back and forth. There's not enough – well, there's 351 teams, so you should be able to schedule a Division I team. But on the off chance that you can't because they played the night before or whatever it is, and you have to open your year at home or whatever on the Saturday against, you know, a D2 team like Stony Brook did, and this is where I saw all the heat. And they had a couple – I think they had one Bleacher Report article written about it, and they won – but they won like 114-32.
Jeez.
What do you want them to do? And I said this. I was like, they had to do it. They had to play a game. Do you want them just to dribble the ball until the shot clock expires?
Right.
Like,
right.
I just don't understand. Like, who cares? It's over. It doesn't matter. So anyone complaining about beating down a lesser opponent, get out of my face. Obviously, it's not ideal to do it, but get out of my face if you're going to cry about it. That's pussification, and I hate that.
It's awful. It's awful.
It's awful for us that want to watch, and it's awful for the people who want to cry about it.
Right. Now, see, like, the one thing I do, and I said this last week, I do appreciate teams, the bigger teams that play the either reigning champions or expected to be champions of like the low Division I. Like play those teams. I'm fine with that.
Albany covered against Kentucky, perfect example.
They did.
They covered the spread. That's, you know, it didn't feel like a blowout, but it didn't feel like Albany ever had like a huge chance.
Right.
But that's a game that you can at least watch and appreciate. Like, I wouldn't watch Stony Brook play a Division III team or anything like that, but I just can't stand seeing backlash after and not vent a little bit about it.
Right.
What did you think about the shot clock in person?
It was what I expected. And talking to a couple coaches over the weekend that I was at the games of and whatnot, they expect the same thing. It's going to benefit the defensive teams. You know, even today, there were three shot clock violations before the first TV timeout. So it's just because, you know, like Cincinnati, they're a slower-paced offensive team. You know, they're not a great offensive team. And I'm not sure yet if they have a guy who can just create his own shot that can get a feasible shot off. So, I mean, the pace of play was quicker, but it wasn't necessarily great shots. So the efficiency wasn't there.
So just you're seeing a lot more. You're going to see teams have to...
You're going to see a ton of... And I saw it this weekend, and the coaches said, like, yeah, well, this is something we planned on from the get-go. Full court zone traps.
Yeah, you saw a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit harder for people to get the ball up, so it was a little bit less.
Right. And more than one coach told me this weekend, or told the group I was with this weekend, that that is going to be a thing all year.
Yeah, and you're gonna see it not affect teams that have, you know, the one-on-one, the player that can just go ISO and make his own shot 10 times out of 10.
Right.
That's when you'll see people start to get away from it so they can, you know, double that player and make sure he doesn't just beat them. The only other thing I'll say, and this was leading up into the discussion about Tuesday night, is through two games, Grayson Allen looks unstoppable. And I know you said before, it will regress very soon.
It will.
He's taking contested looks, and every time he goes up and releases, I'm like, oh, that's going in. That's going in. And he looks unstoppable.
Let's see what happens against some competition.
I know. I said the same thing, but it's, you got to give credit where credit's due through two games. I think he had 26 points yesterday, and I think he had 11 boards too. I'm not 100% sure. I can look it up. I'm pretty sure he had a double-double. So, granted, they're not playing the stiffest competition, but they are looking good, and Tuesday night should be fun. Let's bring it into a discussion on that. Tomorrow night, the 16th, and Tuesday, the 17th. Before the first 2 days of March Madness, this is probably like one of the most fun two-day stretch.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, obviously the Thursday and Friday, really any of the 2 days, you pick any 2 days in March Madness. The conference tournaments, obviously, are a ton of fun.
I was going to say, the first 2 days of the conference tournaments, too, when they play during the day, like 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 1 p.m.
Even the championships, the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, those are two fun days, too.
Those are fun days as well.
Yeah, so you can talk to me. I mean, I'll take this. But, yeah, obviously, outside of that, you get the glorious thing known as the tip-off marathon, which now runs 29 hours. I wish I was young so I could still stay up for 29 hours, probably hopped up on a lot of things to stay up for 24 hours. I can't do that anymore, so I'll unfortunately miss, you know, what do we got here? Unfortunately, I'll probably miss BYU at Long Beach State. Maybe I'll catch, like, the second half of Nevada, Hawaii there at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I might get, like, be waking up, you know, 6:30, and be like, maybe I'll catch the last 2 minutes in Nevada, Hawaii.
Right.
But, I mean, as a younger person, I'll tell you right now, I won't be staying up 29 hours just because, and I hate to steal a phrase, but if I stay up for 29 hours straight, I'll turn into a noodle and be sick for a week. That's just what happens if you don't sleep. So, as a normal functioning human being, you have to sleep. And I think the night games, especially tomorrow night, allow for that. Although, Hawaii is one of those weird places that weird stuff happens. Like, weird stuff happens in Hawaii home games.
Yeah, they play Nevada. Again, 4 a.m. I'm sure there'll be probably some ridiculous cover of some sort, whether it's Zer or the line. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a barrage of threes down the stretch when it doesn't matter for the total to hit.
There's just always weird stuff. Like, you always say there's going to be weird college basketball plays, and there were in, like, this past weekend. So, you know, Friday night, I caught a bunch of Texas-Washington, and Texas tried to open the game with, like, four straight alley-oops. Like, that's weird. That's a weird college basketball thing to do. Like, why not just drive to the rim?
Maybe it wasn't Rick Barnes. Maybe Texas is just awful.
Yeah, so it was just, it's like, that's one of the weird things that college basketball is like, okay, the first two don't work. Maybe we scrap it and run a different play. But now we'll run the same, you know, ball handoff and try and hit another alley-oop. So that, there's always weird stuff, and Hawaii, in every sport, football, basketball, they always have a lot of weird things going on.
Right.
So tomorrow night, what are you tuning in for?
I'm not tuning in to Monday Night Football, that's for sure.
Oh, that should be
a tough,
I'm not tuned in to that either.
I will absolutely, absolutely be tuned in to Virginia George Washington at 7:30 to kick us off. Sorry, I'm not counting UConn Ohio State women's basketball because to me, women's basketball, I can't watch 1 second of.
I was gonna say, I might catch a little bit of that UConn game.
No.
Do you think...
Ever since I coached or I played against Gino Auriemma in an AAU tournament, and he's just a little bitch.
Do you think he could coach at the men's level?
Nope.
I asked, if he's won, a million straight games and a million, championships...
Right. There's a difference. His sport isn't men's basketball.
I know. Men's basketball, bigger, faster, stronger. That's what men are.
Completely different game. Just a completely different game.
But you got to think that, he has at least some knowledge or a high enough IQ of the game that he could apply it. Maybe he wouldn't be good in his – a great coach in his first year or his second year.
He would never succeed in men's basketball. It's a different game. Belichick's a great coach. He can't come – it's the same thing. I wouldn't expect him to be able to come coach men's basketball.
Oh no, that's how much of a different sport. That's a different sport.
So is women's basketball to men's basketball.
As a guy who watched some WNBA this past summer, the game is the plays are the plays. The physicality is the only thing that's the physicality is one of the only things that's different.
It's not remotely close.
I don't know. I wish he would get at least, a little bit. I don't wish ill on anybody, but I wish maybe he coached both teams for a season. That would be cool to see. But
yeah, he'd get his ass kicked.
I don't know. I think he'd be fine.
I'll tell you what. If he would never he'd never be fine because A, he wouldn't be able to recruit. Because if he sits down in a recruit's living room, they're gonna laugh their ass off at him.
I mean, yeah, that's why I'm saying the first couple of years, I think it would be really hard for him to recruit. He would need. I'm not saying recruit. I'm saying give him a team. Could he coach that
He'll
team?
He'll never do anything. No. I don't think so at all.
That's what I'm saying. Obviously, recruiting's huge, but I'm not saying go in there with your women's championship rings and saying, hey, do you want to come play for me on the men's side? No, you give him at least a little bit of time and then say it. I think he could – I just think – I always had the argument with people, and I don't know. I think – I would never be one of the idiots that say, oh, can the UConn women's team beat the worst men's team? No. That's totally different. But coaching, I think, especially after you just said the Iowa State coach kind of lets his team play.
Because he builds up point guards.
But my point is...
At the collegiate men's level.
Gino
Auriemma couldn't coach AAU boys basketball. We ran his team off the fucking gym.
If you... gave him the team, if you gave him an established, not a great team, a 500 team.
If he coached Colorado, they would have lost by 30.
I disagree.
He's awful. He coaches women's basketball. That's not men's basketball. It's a different sport.
I mean, you can't, I disagree. Agree to
his disagree. Whole philosophy would never work. His philosophy works for women's basketball.
And that's why I'm saying you got to give him a little bit of time. He would obviously alter it. You can't say he doesn't have a high basketball IQ.
He's a high women's basketball IQ. Basketball is not basketball.
Basketball is basketball. The physicality is what's different.
It is. No. The entire game is different.
The physicality is different. That's what
the entire game is different.
I'm not saying he would win a championship. I'm not saying he'd win a Final Four. He'd go to a Final Four. I'm saying he would be a competent coach in two seasons. If you gave him if you said start with a 500 team,
he'd win maybe 15 games.
He'd
win maybe 15 games.
I should hang up on you right now for your absurd takes. So
maybe I could outcoach Gino Auriemma in men's basketball.
That's
hands down.
That's the dumbest take I've ever heard.
Hands down. I absolutely.
I might have to edit all this out for stupidity reasons, but that is the dumbest take ever. So I'll tune into it on Monday night, maybe 5 minutes, and then I'll get bored of it. You won't. That's fine. But I was going to agree with you. The first game I do want to see is GW and Virginia.
And the game's at George Washington, which makes it a little interesting. They are borderline NCAA tournament team, so it's not – it's a decent little challenge for Virginia. They're not playing –
They play VCU very tough in the – what are they, A-10?
Yes, they are in the A-10.
They played VCU very tough in the A-10 championship game in Brooklyn last year?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
It was Brooklyn? It might have been the semifinals. I don't want to be, like,
quoted. It definitely wasn't the finals, because the finals were Davidson and VCU, I believe.
Then it was the semifinals. They played, GW played VCU real tough. So.
Yeah, I mean, George Washington, and they got a nice transfer from Wake Forest, big guy, Cannavale. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I'm going to be pulling for George Washington. I somewhat know their coach, Mike Lonergan. He's a great guy. So, you know, a little biased there with that. Also a little biased because I'm not as high on Virginia as a lot of other people are. Well, really, everyone else in the country. So a loss makes me, again, look smart and feel better about myself. So that's obviously the first game I'm tuning into.
Looks like a sellout too, so it will be a good atmosphere on ESPN2. You know, the cheapest ticket right now to get in the door is $89. So
that's not bad at all.
So it looks like a sellout. Good atmosphere. GW has great uniforms too. Obviously not to be taken into account for the game, but. They have great uniforms, so I'll be pulling for them as well also because I think Virginia is a fraud team and they're not the sixth best team in the nation.
No.
After that, which one are you looking at on Monday night?
I'll tune in for a couple minutes to LSU probably early because I want to see Simmons play.
Highlights of that first game, but they look good.
I didn't get to see too much of it on Friday, so I want to see Ben Simmons play early. I'll tell you what, those two late games are going to be good. Baylor at Oregon. Oregon's got a nice little team there. Baylor, I'm really high on. Before that, San Diego State at Utah. Again, two teams that should both be in the tournament, both solid defensively. That game's at Utah. Utah lost at San Diego State last year. So it's a little, and it was during this, so it's a little bit of a rematch. So I will probably fall asleep during the Baylor Oregon game if I'm being honest with everybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably watch a little bit of Manhattan St. Mary's. Just Manhattan's a local team, the Jaspers. They always play tough. I like watching them play, so I'll probably watch a little bit of that game, even though I don't know anything about them this year. Just be a fun one to watch for a little bit. And then going right into Tuesday morning, the first game will tip off or will be tipped off when you guys are getting up for work or if you guys have an 8 a.m. class, you'll probably be getting up and basketball will be going on. So 6 a.m. is a game probably no one really cares about. It's the NIT season tip-off. And it's
right.
Green
but
Bay
then 8 a.m. with Stephen F. Austin in Northern Iowa. Yeah. So again, two interesting teams. Stephen F. Austin, usually pretty fun to watch. They like to get up and down the court. Brad Underwood, their head coach, probably could have left for some bigger jobs, stayed with it. You know, they should be in the tournament this year. And then at, you know, 10 a.m., we get right into it again with Valparaiso, Rhode Island. Again, it's just such a great day of basketball.
Yeah,
so
it's
looking at
interesting
it real,
to watch
real quick,
these.
Real quick, what are the five? Rank the five games you want to see the most.
So, five that I want to see the most. Obviously, right. We're gonna be Duke and Kentucky's the first one. I think that's gonna be the best game of the day.
I'm gonna get into so many Twitter fights during that.
I think that's going to be the best game of the day. I think, and just like right now, there's no line on it yet. That will come out tomorrow night.
Duke Stans are the worst. Well, they're up there.
It's going to come out tomorrow night. I don't know how Kentucky's not a four or 5 point favorite.
My guess would be Kentucky minus 4.5.
I was going to say 5 minus 105. And then it's going to eventually get to 4.5, maybe 4 by game time. And I was like, that's a pound Kentucky situation for me. So that's the first one I'm looking for. I'm sure that's the same for you.
Yeah, I think that's everyone's going to have that as the number one game of the day that they will be wanting to look into. And if you want some entertainment, I am sure I will be getting into it with people on Twitter, especially. And by people, I mean
the crazy Duke fans. Duke fans.
Yeah, tell me they went to practice when it was probably Midnight Madness.
Number two, I mean, I have to put it up there just because it's the game after that, Kansas-Michigan State. And it's only that's number two because it's going to be, you know, touted up by ESPN that it's a great game. But I think Kansas is going to blow them out.
I think so, too. I had Kansas. I read my article on Friday. I had Kansas as the number two team.
Kansas, I watched a little bit of Kansas play whoever it was on Friday night in the second half. And in the second half, it was like I took them second half minus 11. So I was looking really only at the second half score, but it was like they're going basket for basket, basket for basket, media timeout. Kansas comes out and just knocks down three, drives to the hoop, and one. And they score in bunches at the blink of an eye. So right. I was just shocked with how good Kansas looked on both sides of the ball. Not to change the subject, but you see this dead guy in the Sunday Night Football game?
Who was it?
I have no idea, but he ain't moving.
Siena.
I don't even see like a thumbs up or anything. Well, he's dead. So we RIP. Three, and I mean this isn't gonna be a great game. I think it's gonna be a blowout. Is Maryland Georgetown? Just because it's a good rivalry. So it's
one of the best rivalries.
Yeah. So and it's in Maryland, so they're going to be rowdy. They finally have another really good team. So that's number three. And again, I think Maryland's going to blow them out and look to blow them out. I think it's going to be one of those like, should we take our foot off the gas situations, and they're not going to. And that's one that I'll look at really for be watching for atmosphere more than anything else. And then for, I mean, there's not anything that jumps out right about now. I said I wanted to watch Pittsburgh play again. They play, and you know, it's 7 on Tuesday night, ESPN3 game. I don't think they're playing. They're playing a team that you can't even click on ESPN, so it might be a Division II team. Actually, this one's actually going to be a little surprising. Ohio State, I want to watch them play. That's my fifth game. I watched a little bit of that today, and they looked pretty good. I had the under in that game, and it hit, so that was fun. But I think Ohio State might be sneaky good.
I don't think so.
You don't think they're going to be good at all?
I think they'll be all right. I don't think they'll be sneaky good or anything. I think they'll be probably, you know, 7th in the Big Ten.
I mean, I liked what I saw today. So I'm right now in the eye test mode when I'm watching and I'm like, oh, this team's, you know, fun to watch. It's not a foul every few.
They will be fun to watch
every
They're
couple minutes.
Athletic.
Like that's a game I can't watch. If it's a foul every 2 minutes, if there's stoppages all the time, I get bored of it. But Ohio State was up and down. It was a lot of good rebounding. It was a lot of pretty passes. So that's my fifth one that I'm going to be tuned in on. What about you? I know we had the first two. I think we're the same.
Agree with the first three.
First three?
Yeah. I actually think Georgetown will play Maryland close.
Just because of the rivalry and the atmosphere, or you think their team's actually
that,
good?
When Suleiman's not on the court, I think Devonta Smith-Rivera is a real tough matchup for Maryland because Suleiman is really their only guard that can play defense. But Maryland's not a great defensive team, which is weird because they're a good team, but they're not great defensively. So I think Smith-Rivera can give them some trouble there. So I think it's actually going to be a close game. So I have that at 3. I have Oklahoma-Memphis at 4 because I am bullish on Oklahoma. they, and apparently everybody was, because they were at 40-1 to win when I posted that article last week, and then a couple days later they fell all the way to 18-1.
Jeez, that's so huge.
A lot of money came in, yeah, apparently, on Oklahoma. That's at Memphis, so that's a good challenge, and that's at 5 o'clock. So, you know, get home from work and, you know, immediately kind of put that on. So that's 4 for me, and 5 is going to be Valparaiso at Rhode Island. Valparaiso,
10 a.m.
coming off an NCAA tournament bid. They're going to be in it. They should be in it again this year. They have a kid in Alec Peters who is a junior, kind of had a lot of Seth Tuttle in him from last year, from Northern Iowa. You know, they still have Bryce Drew as their head coach, which I think a lot of people forget about. Going to Rhode Island, who just lost one of their star players for the year in EC Matthews. So I want to see how Rhode Island bounces back from that. Again, Rhode Island is a borderline top 25 team before that injury. So that's my fifth.
I'll have that on just because it's really the only thing to be doing at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Like, what else am I going to have on in the background, right, while I'm at work? I mean, we have some TVs at work, so just you throw it on mute. Usually they're supposed to be on, like, MSNBC, so you get the stock ticker or, like, our Bloomberg, dedicated Bloomberg channel, but no one will notice if I switch it over. So, right, yeah, if you have your own office, you know, just throw it on in the background. If you don't, you know, the Watch ESPN app on your phone is key. Little pro tip here for everyone out there. If your office Wi-Fi blocks apps, and I mean, this is a disclaimer, I can't get in trouble. You can't say some guy on a podcast told me to do this. What you do is you start the app and start the video on your cell network, and then if you scroll up and turn on the Wi-Fi, it will keep playing. So a little pro tip: if Watch ESPN is blocked on your work's Wi-Fi, start on data, continue on Wi-Fi, and you'll be able to catch all the games, you know, while you're doing your cube work. That's probably one you didn't know. A little pro tip right there.
Take that and run with it.
A little office pro tip. So,
take that and run with it.
Obviously, we can't give any picks right now because there's no lines out there. And, you know, I said, you know, what I'm gonna take when it does come out, but we'll tweet that. Anything else you got?
Teaser for the next show. If you are a Providence or Big East basketball fan, on Friday, I will be doing a show with a starter from last year's Providence team. I'll tweet out who it is during the week so we can get questions in. Again, follow the show, Storm the Court PC on Twitter.
Check out the blog, Storm the Court. Yes. PC.wordpress.com.
Our that boy, will have links to
Q-Ball,
yeah,
has been blogging, but he hasn't been tweeting it. So I didn't know, and neither did you.
We're gonna have to send an owner email to Q-Ball over there.
So there actually been decent recaps of the games and some funny stuff on there. Check it out. Hit the retweet button. Send it to your friends. We're on iTunes. If you search Storm the Court, it's
or STC Podcast.
Yeah, or that STC Podcast. Yeah. It comes up. So it's where the first one, it's a black picture. It's a Storm the Court podcast. It's very easy to find. We'll tweet the link again. We'll blast the link out there. If you have Android, it's on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Blurberry, Blurry, and Tune In Radio.
Yeah. So, and we'll tweet out links to everything when it's up. This will also obviously be in my blog, which I'll be doing a preview Monday. So it'll be in there. Follow and retweet the show again at Storm the Court PC. That Twitter handle should be pretty busy on Tuesday. We should hopefully have somebody doing that. My Twitter handle at Barstool Reegs. You know, I'll be active obviously during not only this but the entire college basketball season. I like to get Twitter fights. Feel free to argue with me.
I'll probably just scream at you quite a bit and somehow find a way to tell you you're wrong. So, you know, get some interaction that way. I want a daily fantasy. So if you don't live in New York, go across the river, go to Jersey, play there. Maybe try to do on Tuesday. You know, get a group together if you want to do head to head. You know, do something like that. So we got a lot going on. You know, it should be obviously a busy week. We have our first picks video cast coming out.
Hopefully tomorrow night we'll be doing the first Storm the Court Pick'em show video cast, and we'll get that posted ASAP as well so you can get down on some bets for Tuesday. Any games you want, you know, talked about, just tweet it at us. We'll talk about the over-unders. We'll talk about some props because I know Tuesday, at least my book, is going to be offering a ton of props. So props are fun. We'll talk, you know, a couple teasers. We'll talk what to parlay. We'll talk upsets. We'll talk the over-unders, and that will be a video show, and that will obviously be on the blog, on either Vimeo or YouTube, and we'll get that out there for all you degenerates. And just keep following us, and that's really it. We'll catch you guys probably tomorrow night.
Six tray like sick of Dre. I'm a niche that they can't scratch, they sick of me. But hey, what else can I say? I love LA, cause over and above all, it's just another day. And this one begins where the last one ends. Pick up where we left off and get smashed again. I'll be damned, just fucked around and crashed my Benz. Driving round with a smashed front end. Let's cash that one in. Grab another one from out the stable. The Monte Carlo, El Camino, or the El Dorado. The hell if I know, do I want leather seats or vinyl? Decisions, decisions. Garage looks like precision collision. Or Mako, beats quake like Waco. Just keep the bass low. Speakers away from your face, though.
So crack a bottle, let your body waddle. Don't act like a starving model, you just hit the lotto. Uh-oh, bitches hopping in my Tahoe. Got one rotten shotgun and no, not one of them got clothes. Now where's the rubbers? Who got the rubbers? I noticed there's so many of them in this Philly, now that many of us. And ladies love us, my posse's kicking up dust. It's on to the break of dawn and we're starting this party from dusk.
next bottle, after bottle. The money ain't a thing when you party with me, it's what we into. It's simple, we ball out of control like you wouldn't believe. From the napalm, the bomb, the dawn, I'm King Kong, get rolled on. Wrapped up and rained on, I'm so calm through Vietnam. Bring the alarm, bring the Sean Don. Burn marijuana, do what you want, nigga, on and on. To the brick of wood, get the paper, man, I'm taking. You know I don't give a fuck, I spin it like it don't mean nothing. Blow it like it's supposed to be blown, motherfucker, I'm grown. I stunt, I stare, I flash the shit. I just what the fuck I want, so what I trick. Yeah. Badass, Birkin bash, classy shit. Give me two shoes, I say move, a bitch move.
So crack a bottle, let your body waddle. Don't act like a snobby model, you just hit the lotto. Uh-oh, uh-oh, bitches hopping in my Tahoe. Got a rotten shotgun and no, not one of them got clothes. Now where's the rubbers? Who's got the rubbers? I noticed there's so many of them in this building, not that many of us. And ladies love us, my posse's kicking up dust. It's on to the break of dawn and we're starting this party from dusk.